So if you'd please open up your Bibles to Psalm 125. Once again, there are pew Bibles underneath your pews, and that will be on page 517 of your pew Bibles. Our gospel reading this morning came from Luke chapter 18 with the parable of the widow and the wicked judge, and I think this wasn't planned, but our text for today really does address these kinds of situations where you have somebody who's weak and vulnerable being oppressed by somebody who's wicked and in power, and how we wrestle with that, and how we as Christians respond to that. So I'm really, really glad to share this with you. But anyways, now let's read Psalm 125 in its entirety, page 517 of your pew Bible. Hear now the word of the Lord. Song of Ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are with us this morning. And we thank you that in perfect unity with the Father, you sent your Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us this morning to renew our minds, illuminating us to understand what our Heavenly Father speaks to us. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forevermore. Amen. Several years ago, I met a man living from the Middle East who once worked with U.S. Armed Forces as a translator. And through encountering several Christians and hearing the gospel from them, this man converted from Islam to Christianity. He was baptized. His wife eventually also converted and was baptized. This man grew in his faith. He began sharing the gospel anonymously over social media as he was in a country where Christians were persecuted heavily. He was eventually caught. He was imprisoned and tortured. In prison, he was beaten often. He had crushed glass hidden in his food on occasion. After he was released, eventually, he was stabbed multiple times after leaving a family gathering, until one day his in-laws broke into his house, beat him nearly to death, and forced him to watch as they dragged his wife out by her hair. They married her off to another Muslim, and he never saw her again. I share this story with you because sometimes life is hard. Loved ones die. We encounter just seriously painful illness. And we have brothers and sisters in the faith suffering around the world. Sometimes it can feel like we are surrounded by nothing but evil. But in Psalm 125, we receive a message from the Lord that says otherwise, despite what we see with our eyes. And this is immediately seen in our first point of our sermon today. Trust in the Lord, receive an affirmation. Verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Now, when we say trust in the Lord, what we're saying, what we're meaning is those who confide in or hope in the Lord. We're referring to those who have faith in Him, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for reconciliation with God. We're referring to those who admit that their own way of doing things is wrong and has been wrong, and instead turn away from their own way of doing things instead of following them and trusting in the Lord's way. Trusting in the Lord that everything one day will be okay. Once again, verse 1, this is an affirmation of perseverance, and we see this in verse 1. I'll read it one more time. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. So this psalm was written over 2,000 years ago. And it refers to Mount Zion. And if you go to Jerusalem today, guess what you can go and see there? Mount Zion. Mount Zion was there at the time of ancient Israel, is here today, and it will be here on earth for thousands of years to come. You know, in the same way, those who trust in the Lord have been present for well over 2,000 years. They were present in ancient Israel. They are present here with us today as the church. And they will be present until Jesus returns. In the same way, I'm sorry, but this perseverance, you see, it's not a result of the people of God's own strength. Their trust in the Lord is not persevered by from power within themselves. Rather, this perseverance is protected by something far bigger than themselves. This is an affirmation of perseverance as well as an affirmation of protection. Look at verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Once again, the psalmist is not saying that those who trust in the Lord persevere by their own strength. Rather, he is saying that the people of God persevere by the protection of God. The imagery of mountains is used once again to highlight the permanent nature of God's protection. From the human perspective, mountains do not go anywhere. The same mountains that surrounded Jerusalem at the time the psalm was written are still around the city of Jerusalem today. God surrounded his people then. God still surrounds his people in protection now. You know, at Arlington National Cemetery, there's a historic tomb of the unknown soldier. Many of you likely know about this. I have some words from the cemetery's website right here. The tomb of the unknown soldier is Arlington National Cemetery's most iconic memorial. Since 1921, it has provided a final resting place for one of America's unidentified World War I service members, and unknowns from later wars were added in 1958 and 1984. In March 1926, soldiers from nearby Fort Myer were first assigned to guard the tomb of the unknown soldiers. The guards, present only during daylight hours, discouraged visitors from climbing or stepping on the tomb. In 1937, the guards became a 24/7 presence, standing watch over the unknown soldier at all times. Christian, just as the tomb of the unknown soldiers is guarded 24/7, you are guarded 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, 100 years a century, you are surrounded by God your Father, and you are protected by him. It's through this protection that you persevere. Now, everything that I've just said, this affirmation, it sounds great. But how can we be sure of it? You may be wondering how this perseverance and protection can be true given the state of the world around us, given the story that I shared in the introduction of the sermon. You know, even though Psalm 125 says that the people of God, those who trust the Lord, Christians, abide forever, we still die. Even though Psalm 125 says we are surrounded by the Lord's protection, Christians around the world still face oppression every day. They face oppression, hardship, and persecution. Now, questions like these, they're okay to ask. And the reason why they're okay to ask is because the psalmist in Psalm 125 gives us a good answer. This leads us to our next point. Trust in the Lord, receive a promise. Yeah, a lot of times, because I'm doing young men's group, lots of guys who are new to the faith, we get questions about suffering a decent amount in that group on occasion. Yeah, and something that I often like to say whenever we're talking about suffering in the Christian life is that the Bible, the Christian scripture, was written by suffering people for suffering people. It was written by suffering people, people who wouldn't know what you're going through today, for suffering people. We know that this psalm was written by an ancient Israelite, and if you know anything about ancient Israelite history, you know that for much of that history, they were pretty darn oppressed. Things would get bad sometimes. They were either being oppressed by pagan foreign conquerors, or they were being oppressed by native kings who worshiped false gods, and it was common for those who trusted in the Lord to face difficulty and hardship. Yet in Psalm 125, the writer is so confident in the protection of God. And the reason why he could be confident despite this oppression was because they were looking forward to the hope of a future promise. This promise is found in verse 3. Look with me. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. You see, the scepter was a symbol of power and authority in the ancient world. So whoever had a scepter, if they were wicked, then they would be wielding a scepter of wickedness, and they would be oppressing people with it. They would be oppressing God's people with it. Now, the psalmist, you see clearly, he doesn't dance around the fact that oppression is going on in Israel, wicked oppression. He addresses it, but he does so with the hope of a promise. At the time the psalm was written, there may have been a scepter of wickedness spread over the land of Israel, but it does not stay there. As it says, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. In other words, this wicked oppression is temporary. Note the contrast then between the one who wields the scepter of wickedness and the one who trusts in the Lord. We've established, right? Mountains, they don't go anywhere. But the scepter of wickedness does. It goes away. It shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. It's permanent. John Calvin puts it this way. He says, although we may happen to be oppressed by the tyranny of the wicked, we will wait patiently till God either break their scepter or shake it out of their hands. This oppression will stop. As the second half of verse 3 says, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Now, when we say righteous, what we're talking about really is it's a parallel phrase to those who trust in the Lord. You see that a lot with Hebrew poetry. You'll have those who trust in the Lord, Then later on, that same group of people will be referred to as another title to expand upon the meaning of what the author is getting at. So you have trust in the Lord, and then you go down to the second half of verse 3, and you have the righteous. This is the same group of people. Those who trust in the Lord, God will not allow the wicked to always rule over those who trust in him, in order to keep them from being overcome by temptation. Sometimes when you're surrounded by really difficult times, you will be tempted to sin in response. But God, despite how broken ancient Israel was at times, despite all the law-breaking, despite all the idolatry, he always made sure that those who trusted in him did not fall entirely into the sin of their oppressors. And he preserved them until one day the scepter of wickedness was broken and was shattered. You know, there's a really cool story about it, how this promise that we find in verse 3 was fulfilled. That's right. The promise we see in verse 3 of Psalm 125 has already been fulfilled. God's people were set free from the scepter of wickedness and now exist today as the church. In fact, there's a group of authors who wrote a book about it. A bunch of guys who were sinful and broken, but trusted the Lord, just like you, Christian. This book I'm referring to is called The New Testament, and it records how Jesus, who is the Son of God in human flesh, came to set his people free from the scepter of wickedness, from the oppression of sin. John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now, Christian, what you have in Jesus are two kinds of freedom. First, you have a present tense, spiritual freedom. You have freedom from the power of sin under the scepter of Satan. And this freedom from the power of sin is something that can never be taken away from you, because you are as Mount Zion. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so too the Lord surrounds his people," my friends. Second, you also have a hope in a future physical freedom. We all do. As Christians, we will still experience these painful things, as Paul records in Romans 8. And these painful things may even tempt us to stretch out our hands at times to do wicked things in response. When we feel pressure from the culture around us to conform to their standards of ethics and morality that is not in compliance with the Word of God, as is communicated in Scripture, churches may and have and do be tempted to comply to the pressure around them. We need to be vigilant about this. We need to fight this temptation, but we also must be confident that in the end, God delivers us. God will make things right. we'll have physical freedom from oppression, whatever it is, pressure from the culture, illness, death of loved ones, death of ourselves. God will deliver us from these things. We have future hope in the promises of the Lord. So you have this spiritual freedom now and this physical freedom that you can look forward to in the hope of the resurrection. What do you do in the meantime? This brings us to our final point. Trust in the Lord, receive a prayer. First, receive a prayer of blessing. Verse 4, do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. Once again, those who are good are simply those who in their heart trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and are given the status of righteousness and given the status of goodness through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he took our sin upon his shoulders and delivered to us his status of righteousness, his imputed righteousness, where now God the Father looks at us and sees not a wretched sinner, but he sees somebody who is as white as his own son, Jesus Christ, white as snow, without blemish, without spot or stain of sin. Those who trust in the Lord then receive this prayer of blessing, that God will do good to them because they have been made good by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, with this prayer of blessing, however, also comes a prayer of warning. Go down to verse 5. Hear this. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Now, this is a real warning to those who, instead of trusting in the Lord, decide to do things their own way. Oftentimes, these are the people who wield the scepter of wickedness, who instead of accepting accountability to God's standard of how a ruler should act, they follow their own standard of how a ruler should act. And we see this everywhere in every country. It exists in some form because we are all fallen people, and fallen people create fallen systems. God says one thing about who you are supposed to trust in, and you put your trust in something else. And this trust plays out in your life through sin. So, if you don't trust in the Lord now, say this with all the love in my heart, just hear me out. If you don't trust in the Lord now, then one day you'll be led away from the presence of the Lord forever. And this is a heavy truth, but it's one that we all must be aware of. And in a sense, really, this prayer of warning is also a prayer of comfort to the one who does trust in the Lord. Those who hate Christians and persecute them, those who treat widows poorly, those who refuse to acknowledge the hungry and the poor and the desolate, God's going to take care of them. In 1977, Carrie Livgren, one of the founding members of the rock band Kansas, wrote what would eventually become one of their greatest hits of all time, titled Dust in the Wind. Now, many of you, I'm sure, have heard this song and probably know it well. And believe it or not, Livgren actually converted to Christianity a few years after writing it. But I have a quote from Dust in the Wind here. Listen to this. Same old song. Just a drop of water in an endless sea. All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Oh, now don't hang on. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips away, and all your money won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. Dust in the wind, everything is dust in the wind. These lines communicate a deep truth that every human being has to wrestle with. If you do not trust in the Lord, everything you build, everything that you are proud of, will crumble into dust. Any young men in the crowd today, here with us, I don't care how strong you are at this present moment, one day your body will grow weak, it will wither, and you'll die. As Genesis chapter 3 says, from dust you came, and to dust return. Same applies to women as well, of course. We all have to wrestle with this truth. But on the other side of the coin, I would qualify these lines a little bit and add to them and say that those who trust in the Lord will receive good from him. God will do good to those who trust in him. And unlike dust in the wind, they shall be like Mount Zion, which remains in the presence of the Lord forever. Our Christian life is sustained by trust in the Lord. And our trust in the Lord is sustained by prayer. Our spiritual fathers prayed through Psalm 125 as they ascended on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We should be praying through Psalm 125 as we ascend on our pilgrimage to the kingdom of God, to heaven. You know, when we look at the story of my friend from the Middle East, we do catch a glimpse of Psalm 125. Even in the midst of horrific persecution, he never stopped trusting in the Lord, and he is still like Mount Zion, still surrounded and protected by the Lord. He's now working as an evangelist in America, and despite all the persecution he has faced, his primary focus in doing ministry is to reach refugees from his home country. In fact, he has founded a church for refugees from this country. And you can ask me later what country that is. I can't say it now because internet is, this is going on there. So, but, you know, he still faces challenges today, but the scepter of wickedness didn't rest on him in the end because God did defeat it. He defeated it first when a Christian shared the gospel with him and brought to him the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So there's present liberty and freedom in that man's life. Now, he still faces challenges today. You know, ministry in his field is really hard. But he faces the challenges of today with hope for tomorrow. God has done and will continue to do good to him in preserving and protecting him as he makes this pilgrimage through life. Even the persecution that Christians face in his country will not last forever. In fact, those doing the persecuting will either repent and trust in the Lord, or they will disappear like dust in the wind. May peace be upon God's people. Peace be upon his church. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, help us to meditate on this truth day and night, Lord, that your people, those who trust in you, are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Father, help us to remember always that you surround us and protect us, Lord. Even facing death, we are protected. You surround us as the mountains surround Jerusalem. Father, we thank you that you have not allowed the scepter of wickedness to rest upon us, that we have freedom in the gospel. And we look forward with joy and hope to freedom in your presence, in our resurrected, glorified bodies. Protect Christians around the world. Lord, we ask you to reach out with your spirit to those who are currently turned to their wicked ways, Lord. That you would love them, save them, if it be your will. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.